of transfer of membership, of baptism, and communion. We have gathered as the church, the body of Christ, to witness to the testimonies of those who have requested membership and baptism. We have gathered to affirm their decision, to offer our encouragement and support, and we have gathered to worship the God who makes all of this possible, who gives to us the gift of speech, of hearing and responding, the gifts of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the gift of salvation, all because of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus the Christ, based on the love of God, ever faithful, ever true. You have come as members of this congregation. Others have come as friends and family from near and farther away to be part of this celebration. We thank you for making the effort to be here. This is a joyous occasion, a time to celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church and down through the ages, even to our time. We had no service here last Sunday, and some of us haven't seen each other for 2 weeks, so we need to stand and greet each other, and we need to get reacquainted. Let's do that. We have some folks who need to make announcements. I think Sarah was going to make one, and Jerry and John, I believe. I would invite them to come and do that, please.
My announcement will be quick and short. This week is our youth wind-up. So Wednesday, we're doing Zorb soccer and having some ice cream. So if you are in grade 6 to grade 12, you're invited. Please come on down. It'd be great to see you there. Thanks.
Good morning. Just a very brief update about VBS. Thank you to everyone who has signed up and offered to volunteer in whatever capacity you have. It has been amazing to see that list filling out, but I just would like to say that we need at least 5 more people to help with the preschoolers. If we don't have enough volunteers, we won't be able to run the preschool department just because there's so many little kids. So I would really like to see that happen. If it's on your heart at all, consider that and let me know. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to let everybody know I'm planning another worship night concert sort of thing. If you remember, we did one of Christmas music back in December. Since it's not Christmas, this one's going to be kind of a folk gospel bluegrass kind of stuff. Got some new songs, some really cool songs that I'm hoping to do. So we're tentatively looking at July 19th, I think, in the evening here. So mark your calendars, come on down for some good old kind of folk hymns. They're still kind of hymns. There's still some real solid spiritual content. I really love these songs. So I think we're actually going to do a bit of a preview for the offertory. You'll see me and a couple of the other guys up. So give you a bit of a taste of what it'll hopefully be like. Thank you.
Those of you that have checked your mailbox this morning, you will have received a leaflet from the Gardens on 10th. We're doing some fundraising for, we have to replace the roof on the old apartment block, the old Ebenezer building. Back in 1999, the government said the building is shot, tear it down, and the churches at that time said, no, you know, let's renovate it and make it for seniors housing. That, you know, it's not personal care, but seniors housing. Now, it the role has changed over the last number of years, and it is now either supportive living or 24/7 care in there. And it's just, it's time for a new roof, which is going to run about $100,000 or a little more. And we're looking at doing some fundraising for that. We've got probably about $15,000 to $20,000 committed already. And like I say, you've all got one of these in there. If you're so led, we would appreciate some more funds. The project will go ahead this year. We're too many grandmas are getting wet, so we have to do it.
So if you remember, back in February, Jonah went to qualifiers for Special Olympics for snowshoeing, and we found out about 2 weeks ago that he was selected to go to Nationals in Thunder Bay, Ontario, in February of 2020. So he will be on Team Manitoba. And I was selected as an assistant snowshoe coach also for Thunder Bay. So it's been pretty exciting the last couple of weeks and finding out we're going to Team Manitoba and everything. So just make sure you tell him congratulations, slap him on the back, and tell him good job. So we're really proud of him.
What else is the coach going to say, huh? Slap him on the back, yeah. You bet. God's blessings to Kelly Fair and Evan Giesbrecht. They're planning an upcoming wedding this Friday, June 14th. Also, some births. Mike and Janelle Peters, congratulations on the birth of a daughter, Gemma Alexandria. 2 Sundays ago, right? Yes, May 26th, you bet. And to Ryan and Stacy Hamm, just a bit of a name change, not Lauren, but should be Laura. Laura Ainsley, also born on that Sunday. Sunday and baby girls seems to be a good combination. So, we're excited for you, excited for John and Esther for another grandchild, and want to wish these families God's blessings as you seek to live out your commitments to be godly parents to those children entrusted to your care. Just a couple of details about church picnic on Sunday, June 23rd. There's no Sunday school on that morning. Weather permitting, our service will take place outside at 10:30. And if you could bring a salad or dessert, that would be so helpful to share for the Sunday service. The rest of everything will be taken care of by the food committee. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? In chapter 77, the psalmist writes, "I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your way, O Lord, is holy." And then he asks the question, "What God is great like our God?" And his answer, "You are the God who works wonders. You display your power among the peoples." According to Acts 2, on this Pentecost morning, the story is all about wind and fire, evidences of the presence of God in the Old Testament. The same wind that swept across the dark waters of creation is once again bringing something to life. And curious neighbors come. A crowd gathers. It's instructive that the first gift of the Spirit is the gift of speech. The gift of speech in different languages from every nation under heaven. And that's especially remarkable because in that list of all the people who were gathered together, there's the name of the Medes and the Elamites. I don't know if you've ever done any work on that, but I find interesting that the Medes had been extinct, long gone from the face of the earth for at least 2 centuries, hadn't been around. The Elamites are mentioned in Ezra chapter 2, verse 7, but not again, also lost in the past. But that's of no consequence to the writer because he's making the point that by including those names, that when God's Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, it's poured out and made available for all people of all time. Given to people from every century and every place, God's blessed, forgiving, empowering, liberating Spirit was given, poured out upon all. The Spirit is the power that enables the church to go public with its message to proclaim with good news, to have something to say worth hearing. It is reminiscent of Psalm 50, verse 3, "Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, round about him a mighty tempest." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of worship. Thank you that through your Spirit, you do not keep silence, but are active in moving over the face of the waters at creation, going before the Israelites in a pillar of cloud and fire to the promised land, interceding for Hannah as she prayed for a child, writing psalms, bringing wisdom to the prophets, moving the hearts of women and men to follow Jesus, and coming as God's gift to us at Pentecost in order to increase our access to God, that the church might be built up in love and grow to maturity. For all of your good gifts to us, we give you thanks. Amen.
Would you stand with me and offer up a continued prayer off of what Pastor Rudy has just spoken, and invite that Holy Spirit to come and fall afresh on us. We're going to start in a cappella, and then I'll move into some instrumental.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
morning. You may be seated.
I'll invite the ushers to take this morning's offering, please. Thank you, Harley. The church is a body of believers joined together on earth to proclaim the love of God and to follow Christ's example of life and ministry. The church welcomes all people who join themselves to Christ to become part of the family of God. And as we welcome people into this congregation, we recognize that we are expected to provide scriptural nourishment for growth, support in joys and sorrows, and spiritual discernment in decision-making. We accept these expectations and pray for God's strength and wisdom to meet these needs. Into the fellowship of this congregation comes Janelle Falk, Mark Dirksen, and Erica Clausen, seeking membership. They have previously been instructed in the gospel of Jesus the Christ and received baptism. They are also familiar with this place, our purpose. They have spent time here and been involved in various ways. Now they desire to unite with us in membership. I've asked that each of them would give us a glimpse into their journey of faith, how that has been important to them in the past and the present, and how the church fits into that story. I'd invite all three of you to come and join me up front here, and Janelle has asked that she wants to go first, so we're going to give her that privilege. Would Erica and Mark come and join me as well up front here?
Good morning. Like Rudy said, I am Janelle Falk. I know I haven't met a lot of you, and I look forward to meeting all of you in the future, so I figured I would give you just kind of like a brief history of how I came to be here. I told my mom growing up that I would never marry a grain farmer. I married Mark Falk in February. So if anyone has tips of how to be a good farmer's wife, I welcome all the tips. I was raised on a farm near Austin and was fortunate to have grown up within a Christian family. I attended the McGregor Sommerfeld Mennonite Church and became a baptized member in May of 2015. I graduated from nursing school in 2017 and currently work at the Boundary Trails Hospital and Altona Hospital. It was within our church community where I found the greatest teachers, wise mentors, and my closest friends. These are people that played influential roles in my journey to Christ and continue to support me in my relationship with God. Being a member of a unified community with a goal to serve God and others is such a gift that I often took for granted. And I felt at home really quickly here, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm really looking forward to meeting all of you and getting to know my new church family. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Mark Dirksen, and last night I spent some time looking back at the testimony that I had written when I'd been baptized, and oh, that really brought me back. At that time, I was quite certain I would never be doing this again. Now, 7 years can change quite a few things. Pastor Rudy did give me a bit of direction, so I'll be sharing a glimpse into my journey of faith and the role that the church has had in it. And yeah. November 30th, 1993 was the day I was born to Wayne and Joanne Dirksen. Not sure how many of you would know them, so you could also say that I'm a grandson to Nick and Dorothy Hyde, or John and Betty Dirksen. I'm blessed to have grown up in a Christian home and accepted Christ as my Savior around the age of 5. Like most, I went through the motions and did not think twice about my Christianity. At the end of my grade 8 year, my class did a trip to Camp Moose Lake. There I renewed my relationship with God. Before that time, I'd been going down a road that most likely would have ended with me losing the faith. My faith continued to grow over high school, and I attended church and youth group regularly and with conviction. My first year out of high school, I spent studying at CMU. This had really been an eye-opening experience for me. At CMU, I was exposed to many different teachings on the Bible and ways to understand my faith. I had been constantly challenged in my faith and what it looks like and means to be Christian. Sorry. Now, what I just read was pretty well word for word from the testimony that I had originally given back in April of 2012 when I was baptized into the Winkler Bergteller Mennonite Church. At that time, I was a week away from leaving for the Philippines, where I was to homeschool the kids of Don and Char Epp, who are missionaries to the Ogda people. Now, before I continue, I felt the need to say this. My time at CMU was difficult. My dad used to warn me when I was younger that everything you hear, take it back and strain it through the Bible. Unfortunately, I did not heed his advice, and those different teachings that I mentioned before really did change my faith, or really did challenge my faith a little too far. Now, I'm definitely not saying that this will be everyone's experience. I just really wish someone would have given me a heads up before I had gone, so that I could have been on guard. So for those of you thinking of attending, I would suggest you first talk to someone who has attended CMU so that you'll know what to expect. Anyway, back to the Philippines. Don helped me immensely in unpacking where my faith was after CMU and building it back up. Now, I'm not sure, Pastor, do you have time to tell a bit of a story? Yeah? Okay, so this is a little bit of a sidetrack story here. So while I was out in the tribe, I guess I should mention that it was a pretty remote tribe. So the closest hospital was a 10.5-hour hike over 3 mountain passes. I realized a couple weeks ago that they weren't really like Jeff's mountain passes. They were a little bit smaller. So this one morning, I was homeschooling the kids, and Char was underneath the house helping to deliver a baby. This poor lady, apparently it was already quite a few hours into kind of a dry birth scenario. I don't know exactly what that means, but needless to say, there was quite a bit of yelling and a good-sized ruckus. The moment I gave the kids a break, they rushed out to see what was going on. Luckily, I managed to stop them at the door. So now, I did end up letting Thea, the oldest girl, go down and sort of check it out. But I kept the boys upstairs. And they weren't too impressed with me. They didn't think that was very fair. And yeah, I just said, you'll thank me later. when Thea came back, the look on her face was like, yeah, I'm never doing that. Yeah, so going out to the Philippines was actually very important also in the role of the church in my life's journey. Prior to the trip, I was a passive member who showed up on Sundays and to youth, but that was the extent. And the people that I knew were really only those that I interacted with regularly. Thanks to the trip, though, through various ways, for example, asking for support, preparing with those who had already been out there, and even just sharing in church, I began to know more of the wider Winkler-Bergteller community. This was important as I transitioned to serving as a Sunday school teacher and learned about the serving responsibilities that we have as church members. Going on from there, I'll say that there haven't been too many notable faith-shifting moments in the last 7 years. It's been more along the line of cementing what I know and continuing to learn and grow in my knowledge and love for Christ. So now I'll shift to the church. I'm sure you're all wondering how I ended up here at BMC. Believe it or not, it was actually here that I met Kim. I promised her that I wouldn't call her my hot wife. So, apparently that was a little inappropriate for church, so I'll say my very pretty wife, Kim. So, Yeah, it's been a little rough to think heavily on, but I've had to go through some tougher things at Bergteller. I remember in my early childhood, there was a large Sunday school where each individual grade had at least two classes. This was then followed up by a packed sanctuary with two services every Sunday. Through my years in school, we went from the two classes per grade down to two regular attendees in my grade 12 Sunday school class. This too was reflected in the sanctuary being half full on a regular basis. Through this time, I saw some sides of church that weren't so pleasant. It's not easy to have a congregation label themselves a dying church. Yeah, that raised tensions. And I think it was around 2015, there was a situation where a fair-sized group of what was left of the younger families had left the church due to reasons I won't get into. My family and I continued to attend till the summer of 2016. We had waited till everything had kind of died down and made sure that it would be on good terms that we left. It was then that my parents suggested we find a church with more young people our age, so we kind of spent that summer church shopping. Now, the reason I looked at BMC and started attending has to do with the relationships that I've had with Mitch and Seth. Mitch I've been friends with since elementary school, and Seth I got to know while living with them in Winnipeg. I knew that attending BMC would not lead me astray. And I have really enjoyed my time here, getting to know you guys and worship with you. Finding my very pretty wife is also quite the added bonus. To be honest, it was hard to leave Winkler Bergteller, as the people there had become my family, my community of believers for 23 years. They knew me, my parents, my grandparents, and even my great-grandparents. They watched me grow, teaching me in Sunday school, children's stories, clubs, youth, saying hi, how are you every Sunday. But now, I am here, and my wish is to become a part of the Blumenort Mennonite Church community through membership, to love, serve, and be in fellowship with you as the Bride of Christ. Now, I'm going to end this the same way I ended my testimony back in 2012, because, not going to lie, I kind of nailed it the first time. It's sort of funny. It seems that the more I learn, the more sure I am that I know very little. In a way, this has scared me, since I would much rather be able to squeeze Christianity and Christ into a manageable, completely understandable box. But at the same time, it is thrilling to think that there is so much more to Christianity than I could ever hope to imagine. Throughout my faith journey, I've had many struggles, many times I have failed, and those times that I've done right, I feel like my heart was not in it. I have constantly struggled with what it looks like to live a true Christian life. I don't know if I will ever be able to answer this question. I hope that one day I might.
Hello. My heart is pounding a little. I have peace about sharing. I so long to share my story well, and for it to make sense, and for you to understand me, I guess. And if you don't, that's okay. I've come to peace with that too, but I hope that you do. Can I move this a little? Yeah. I'm excited to share my story with you today because as I officially joined this body of Christ, this one here at BMC, I believe it is important that I get to know you and in return that you know me. We are a family, and the benefits of having community with brothers and sisters is something that I have experienced over and over again in my life experiences. The church, community, being a part of God's family, has changed my life. I am excited to serve and love you, this BMC community. For as long as I can remember, God has loved me. For as long as I can remember, he has had his hand on my life. I grew up in Sunday school at the Winkler Sommerfeld Church, where I was told the story of Jesus, and I understood that if I asked Jesus into my heart, I would be spared hell, so I asked him into my heart. Although I knew there was a God, I really only knew him as a distant do and don't God, and nothing else really. So at a young age, I began the journey of striving for perfect, doing my best to please God and my parents and my peers, but grabbing the opportunities to stick my tongue out at my brother or call him names when I was sure that nobody was watching. Even though I only thought of God as a distant being, my heart has always been drawn to him. I did really desire to please him because from a very young age, I was given certain pieces of revelation about life that I can't really explain in a logical way. I knew deep within me, without a doubt, that God is real and good and the most important thing in all of life, even though my mind only knew him as someone I was trying to appease. And I understood that it was each one of our purposes to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. One thing that grieved me as a child was watching young people walk away from God. I could not understand how they thought anything else was more important. And so one day I felt such a depth of belief in myself that I promised him and I promised myself, God, no matter what, no matter how hard life gets, no matter what I feel or how much I want to, I will not turn away from you. And I buried that promise deep within me and I haven't forgotten it. And it is only by God himself that a child of that age can have such revelation, I believe. So I grew up and I strived for perfection. And like any person, I strive to find myself. When I was in ninth grade, my aunt was the head cook at Pembina Valley Bible Camp, and she wanted me to come volunteer in the kitchen. And I was not interested. It sounded like a lot of work and free labor and taking all my summer. But to please her, I finally agreed to 1 week, and I stayed for a month, and for many more summers after that. It was the first time in my life that I saw a culture of people who loved Jesus expressively and who had joy in their faces because of him. I did not know that God could be fun and that there could be joy in him. And so I began to learn more about this loving God who wasn't as much of a do and don't distant God as I thought. I also began attending youth at Grace Mennonite Church in Winkler with my friends because it was what all the cool people were doing mostly, but it changed my life. A man by the name of Corey Kaler shared with us in realness and vulnerability from the depth of his heart every single week. And the love that he had for God and the truths he shared began reshaping my foundation of what I believed about God. Corey also was the one who baptized me later on after high school on a mission trip to Jamaica, where I felt God touch my heart to make that commitment. So I approached grade 12, and I had a big decision to make. When I was younger, I had decided in myself that I would set myself apart and become the first from both sides of my family to attend university and pursue an amazing, well-paying career and really make something of my life. I worked my butt off year after year, and here I was approaching graduation with everything that I wanted. With perfection in sight, I wanted to be better than everyone around me, and I felt like I was. I was well-known, well-liked, and I graduated with more awards and scholarship money than anybody else. I was so proud of myself, and yet so torn because I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. But God had changed me. I came back to that promise that I would never turn my back to God, and I knew that university would be a tough place and that my beliefs could be challenged. So I decided to do a discipleship school first to really build a solid foundation. There was much weight on my shoulders with the expectations of my peers and teachers and community of what I could become. and I disappointed many when I decided to take $5,000 of my scholarship money that I had in cash and head to Youth with a Mission, YWAM, in Tyler, Texas. I did 2 5-month schools there, and again, they changed my life. I really began to know God, learn about the world, missions, and gain a heart for ministry. And as I did, I wrestled with him over surrendering my life. I wanted to go back home and do what I should do, go to university and become what people wanted me to become. But there was a deeper purpose in me that was slowly coming to the surface. One day I was on outreach. We went to several different locations around the world that I've been to in YWAM, but this time I was in Louisiana, the state of Louisiana. And we went to a detention center for young girls, teenagers. And I expected them to be to have hardened hearts and to not really receive us. We were going to do a Bible study, and I thought they probably don't care. And we went in, and it was a group of us girls. And our leader and their leader explained to them who we were and what we were doing and that we were missionaries. And we were telling people about Jesus, and this one, there's several girls around the table, and this one looks at all of us, and then she looks directly at me, and she asked, or she said, "Wow, do you love it?" And I was so taken off guard, and yet at the same time, that was the moment that I surrendered my life, because something clicked. And my heart exploded, and everything in me just answered, "Yes, I love this." And I finally accepted that loving people in a ministry kind of way that touched their lives and their hearts was what I was made to do. That was my dream career, and I finally accepted it, and I didn't need a degree to do it. So I came home with not sure what I was going to do, but I felt the Lord speak to me while I was in YWAM about leadership opportunities that were coming up ahead, and to not run away from them, but to be the leader that that God had called me to be. Someone there at YWAM spoke this over me, to not run away, but to stand up and be the leader that God had called me to be. I was scared to go home because I didn't know what was coming. But I came home, and God called me back to Pembina Valley Bible Camp, where at the age of 19, I coordinated the kitchen and all of the meals for 4 months. I spent about 12 hours a day in the kitchen, feeding up to 125 people per meal. I wrestled with doubt, and I faced spiritual warfare. I matured, and again, it changed my life. From there, I moved on to an even scarier thing that I've ever said yes to, which was becoming a staff member at School of the Kingdom, which was a new discipleship school that God was leading Ty and Jenny Franz to start. They asked me to join, and I ignored that decision for several months before I finally talked to God about it, and I felt him ask me to serve their vision. So I said yes. A very scary yes. And for 2 years, I was leading and discipling 24 students, and it changed my life. My fellow leader, Janessa Clausen, which many of you know, became a friend for life during that time and is now a sister for life as I went on to marry her brother. Seth was a man who I've always admired greatly, but it was his own walk with God and heart to love and obey him that drew me to him most. Loving Jesus together, seeking his will for every area of our life, and dreaming about where God could lead us is the greatest joy. We just passed our first anniversary, and our experience of marriage has been truly blissful. The last 2.5 years have been in a category all of their own. Towards the end of School of the Kingdom, I had an encounter with God that I can really only explain as a breakdown. We were learning about deep realness with God, admitting who we really are and what we really feel and what we really believe, and letting him truly know us. I was brought to my knees at what was revealed in my heart. My eyes were open to the shallowness of who I was, and I didn't know it, but I realized that I had been operating under the shoulds of what I thought was expected of me instead of what was in my heart. My foundation was shaky, and I was so wrecked when I realized that I didn't even know who Erica is, when I wasn't what I should be, or who God was when I removed what I should believe about him. As I promised many years ago as a little girl, I didn't walk away from him. He just pressed a big red stop button on any ministry-related things that I was involved in and that I could be involved in, and he and I moved to a season of realness in the quiet and unknown places that people don't see. I'm still there, and I don't know when I'll be finished, but I'm okay with that. I'm coming alive, I'm healing, and my entire being is slowly being filled with a fire for God. That's really genuine and authentic and comes from my heart and not out of what people expect of me. I'm done building the kingdom of Erica, protecting myself because of expectations and pride and what people will think of me. I want to glorify him and further his kingdom. His kingdom, not Erica's kingdom. I know what I'm moving towards, and I've seen the woman at the end of the tunnel, and she is something fierce to behold. As for work, I moved on to do nannying for a season, then I worked as an EA under Esther Zacharias, and now I work in the office at Choice Realty in Winkler. But that's not really what I've been up to now, as we ask each other. The honest, most important answer is that I've been growing and becoming more alive in confidence of who I am and who he is, and it's so exciting. He gave me the thumbs up to be involved in VBS here in a few weeks, which is a big deal for me, as he's slowly releasing things to me again as my heart becomes real. I didn't always love the church when I was critical in my younger years, but my heart now is only growing for her and for you. I love the story of God and BMC and the wonderful heritage there is here. After we got married, we wanted to be intentional about which church body we were a part of, so we prayed, and Seth and I felt the Lord call us to stay right where we are. It's important to us that we can love God with you, worship and pray together with you, but also that there is a safety to be real here, to find freedom through sharing and lifting each other up in encouragement. And so we and I look forward to growing as a family with you. Thank you.
Thank you to each of you for your words of honesty and integrity and for sharing with us that which is important for us to hear. I get this glimpse of the continued presence of God's Spirit in your lives that will continue to unfold and unravel and show and guide, and I hope you can be encouraged by that. I would invite you just to stand down here, and I would ask you just the following questions. You have previously made confession of your faith before God, and you have been baptized. We rejoice in your decision to become members where you are currently residing, in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve God here in this place. Do you reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Jesus the Christ and his gospel? If so, then answer, I do. As you willingly unite with this congregation, will you worship and share with us in supporting it by your prayers, your attendance, your service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? If so, then answer, by God's help, I will. And finally, do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joys and sorrows and hardships? If so, then answer, I do. We as a congregation are invited to respond to that which we have heard and to the answers to the questions that have been given. I would invite Morgan to place the response on the board. I would invite us to stand and let's read this together. We freely receive you, even as Christ has received us. We open ourselves to fellowship with you in worship, study, service, and discipleship. We commit ourselves to care for one another and pledge ourselves to offer and receive forgiveness in the community. We joyfully accept you as a partner, both in the care of our spiritual family and in our mission to the world. Oh, that was the end of it. Let's bow to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of welcoming Janelle Falk and Mark Dirksen and Erica Clausen into this fellowship. Thank you for their life of faith, their witness to your presence in their lives, for your Holy Spirit who continues to be their guide. May we be faithful to one another as fellow believers in the body of Christ, so that your name may continue to be honored. Amen. You may be seated. That's what I was saying. On behalf of the congregation, I want to welcome you as a member into the fellowship of this church and bid you God's blessings. On behalf of the congregation, I want to welcome you as well. God's blessings to you. On behalf of this congregation, welcome Erica. God's blessings as you continue your journey.
It's always interesting to listen to someone's journey, and it always causes me to reflect on my own personal journey, but it's a series of yeses, getting up in the morning and receiving the truth of God, God's presence and his new mercies, but responding with little yeses, step by step. Let's stand together and sing that step by step.
God, you are my God. I choose to follow you today.
to give my yes to you today. I choose to hear your voice and live today. I choose to follow you.
Amen. You may be seated.
We have met together over the past several months to prepare for this time of baptism, looking back at the basics of our faith. We looked at the beginning stories in the book of Genesis, God's intention for creation, the entrance of sin and suffering and death, and God's response to this throughout history, including the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and coming again of Jesus our Lord. We met together on Sunday mornings, usually during the Sunday school hour, and I have greatly appreciated this time together. The questions and discussions about how our lives and the story of our lives is woven together into the larger story of what God is doing in this world and in our lives. Thank you, Carrie, for your willingness to meet together, for sharing aspects of our faith journey. And I always think there's something about the Spirit of God that is present when we discuss, when we bring our questions, when we look at the Scriptures. All of that which is woven together and is part of the fabric that is woven together under the rubric of living a life of faithful discipleship. In terms of the baptism, we believe that baptism by water is a sign that people have repented, received forgiveness, renounced evil, and died to sin through the grace of God in Christ Jesus, according to Romans chapter 6. Baptism is also a pledge to serve Christ and the church and to minister as a member of the body according to the gifts given to each one. It's a public commitment of one's identification with Jesus the Christ and the church. And finally, it's also a testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, which enables a person to walk in newness of life, to live in community with Christ and the church, to offer Christ's healing and hope and forgiveness to those in need, to witness boldly to the good news of Christ, and to hope in the sharing of Christ's future glory. Jesus, prior to his ascension, instructed his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." This morning, we come to this service of baptism recognizing that there have been many influences which have made it possible. God's Spirit has been at work. But we also ought not to forget the community of God's people, which has also shaped and guided. And I would like to publicly acknowledge and say thank you to all of these people. I do this partly because of my own remembrance of the time when, as Erica mentioned, you remember things about your own journey. And I remember the time, the day of my own baptism, when with 10 other people, we were baptized as into the Whitewater Mennonite Church. And in the bench, about three benches down, there was a woman named Mary Dick. And for those of you who come from Boysville, you know Tanta Mija and her sister Agnes, who taught Sunday school for years and years and years, faithful witnesses to the reality of God's story in their lives. And she was sitting in that pew, and there were tears coming down her cheeks. And she said, all of those people who were getting baptized, she said, they were all in my kindergarten class, every one of them. And she knew herself to be part of this story that had an influence in the lives of where these people now were. And she was just so joyful about the fact that these people had made this decision to be baptized, and that she had been a part of this ongoing story. So grateful, so thankful. Such a faithful worker, such a faithful teacher. There have been family and parents and brothers and sisters and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins who have been instrumental in the story of what we are doing here today. And I want to ask you to stand. Would you please stand and remain standing? Those of you who are family, parents, brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts and uncles, would you please stand, those of you who are here? I'm going to ask the Sunday school teachers, public school teachers, there's some bus drivers here too who have taken Carrie back and forth to school, would you stand? There have been youth workers, sponsors, friends, youth group members, young adults. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand, please. Visitors and guests. Because I believe all of you have had a part in modeling the way. You have been loyal in praying, faithful in praying. You have helped to set an example of what it means to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. All of you have had a part in making this day possible. I want to thank you for that. We ought not to forget that. Please be seated. Kerry has also asked a good friend of his, Brock Heinrichs, to be here for his witness, to stand and to affirm him in his decision of what he is planning to do here today. I'm going to ask Brock, would you come and take your place beside Kerry here at this point? Prior to the baptism, I would invite Kerry to stand, and I want to ask you four questions which I would like you to answer before these witnesses. Would you please stand? You are about to speak publicly of your faith in God, confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Do you commit yourself to be obedient to the ongoing reign of God in your life through the activity of the Holy Spirit? If so, then answer, I do. Will you therefore, as a disciple of Jesus the Christ, seek to live according to the pattern of life exemplified in him? If so, then answer, I will. Will you seek to be a faithful member of this congregation and uphold it by your prayers, your service, and your gifts as you are able? If so, then answer, I will. And finally, do you desire to be baptized upon your confession of faith and be received into the fellowship of the Church of Christ? If so, then answer, I will. I do. You may be seated. Before we proceed with the baptism, I invite us to bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are about to hear the testimony of Kerry Dick, his witness to his faith, his commitment to this congregation. As we proceed with the baptism, we ask that you continue to send forth your cleansing spirit into his life. Confirm his faith. Strengthen him to do that which is right. Surround him with your love and power so that he may be able to walk according to your ways. As we baptize with water, we ask you to continue to baptize with your Holy Spirit to your honor and to your glory. Amen. I've asked Kerry to speak about his commitment to Christ and the church, to also give us a glimpse into his journey of faith and how it has come to be important for him to be a Christian. And as I mentioned, Brock Heinrichs is here as a witness who will also speak on his behalf. After Kerry has spoken, I would invite Brock to speak as a witness, and then he can be seated as well. After this, we will proceed with the baptism. I'm going to invite Kerry to begin, please.
Hello, my name is Kerry Dick, son of Menno and Inger Dick, husband of Jennifer Dick, and father to Braxton Dick. I grew up in a Christian home attending church and Sunday school. I accepted God as my Savior at a young age. I remember asking God to forgive my sins and asking him into my heart, and not really knowing if that was enough, so I did this multiple times. Growing up, I always had lots of good Christian role models and always considered myself a Christian, but did not always live like I knew God wanted me to. When I would pray, it was often to ask for something or when things weren't going well. As I've gotten older, I've realized God wants me to be a Christian all the time and not just when it's convenient for me. God has helped me in some tough times and blessed me with a lot of good friends and family. Being a Christian is important to me because I know God has a plan for me and I don't want to live without him. I'm getting baptized today as a sign of my faith, and I feel like it's my next step in my journey as a Christian.
Sorry about that. Good morning, church body. As Pastor Rudy said, I am Brock Heinrichs, friend of Kerry.
It's truly great to be here with you to celebrate a good friend in Carrie and the step of obedience he's taking. I'll start by sharing why I'm up here. I became friends with Carrie through hockey when we were about 11. We played together for many years, and even when we stopped playing together, due to his skill level surpassing mine, he reached out and said he still wanted to hang out, which meant a lot to me. Jump ahead to high school, and the Dick family took the incredibly generous step of allowing me to live with them as I attended MCI, as it was far away from home for me. Carrie and I were attached at the hip, going to school together, attending hockey practice, even sleeping in the same room together. Now, I believe that I may have been kind of like an annoying little brother during this time, but I really think he should be thanking me for all my annoyances, because this really just furthered his sanctification. This was through giving him a lesson, a thorough lesson, in loving your neighbor no matter who they are. If you don't know Carrie, let me share a few of his characteristics. He can relate to anyone and is extremely likable. As long as I've known him, he's been able to strike up and hold a conversation with people from all walks of life. I can't remember the guy ever having an enemy. He also tries his hardest at everything he does. I first found this out in high school, and I'm sure every other guy who competed against him found out as well. No matter the sport or task, he was either going to win or he was going to do his best trying. Not that he would cheat or anything. He was always good-natured in that way, but he was always going hard. I think the only thing I could beat him at was a race on skates. However, his goalie skates held him back, so I don't think I can even claim victory there. I admit to poking fun at him for this from time to time, but only because I didn't like losing all the time. But I must say, this seems to me like a godly characteristic, and I truly admire that about Carrie. I'm overjoyed that Carrie is being baptized today. He was one of my friends who I was fortunate enough to be able to discuss God and our relationship to him often in our times together. He was often there to challenge me, and I hope that I was able to do the same for him. I'd like to end with a few words of encouragement. The words I have for you are rooted in scripture. However, they come from a man named John Owen, who was a Puritan preacher in the 17th century. He realized that the Christian life was not one of peace, but of war. And we can take part in this war against sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that Christ our King has already won it. So keep in mind, I only mean this in the way that we can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit and not through our own strength. In light of this, he said, "Be killing sin or it will be killing you." A good quote indeed. How do we kill sin? Well, we make war with it, and we have many ways that we can do that. We are making war today just by gathering as believers and singing praises to the King of Kings. We make war by reading our Bibles and renewing our minds through washing ourselves in his word. As husbands, we make war by loving our wives day in and day out. As fathers, we make war by loving our children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Carrie is one of the manliest men I know, so I'll just end by inviting Carrie to do the manliest thing that I can challenge him to do. Make war on your sin. It's what we all must do in the Christian life. Be killing sin, or it will be killing you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brock, for your words. Thank you. Carrie Dick, upon your confession of faith, may before God and this congregation, and I baptize you with water, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord continue to baptize you with the Spirit from above. Carrie Dick, we affirm the public confession of your faith and want to welcome you as a brother into the Church of God and as a member of the Blumenort Mennonite Church. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too you also shall walk in newness of life in the Spirit. I want to leave with you the following verses from Scripture. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Blessings to you. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. You have followed an important calling in your life, Carrie. The most important one I believe you will ever make, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You have followed the prompting to become baptized, to give a public confession of your faith before the people of God. I would like to affirm your decision. I would like to confirm once again that you are loved by God. I would like to encourage you to remember your commitment to allow God's Spirit continued room in your life, to allow God to reveal his grace and mercy to you in an ever-deepening relationship with him. May your life be blessed by God. May you be a blessing to others. I invite Jerry for a prayer of blessing.
First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to all the transfers and to Carrie for being baptized today. I'd like to share a few verses with you and then we'll pray. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each of these, your children. Thank you that they have decided privately and publicly to declare that they will follow your way, the way demonstrated through Jesus Christ, your Son. I ask, God, that you grant them grace to follow your leading in times when it is easy to hear your voice and in times when it feels as though you're calling from far off. Thank you that you are committed to transforming their hearts and desires to better reflect your heart and your desires. Thank you for the many saints in our congregation who live their lives devoted to you and to your kingdom. Help us all to continue to remember what Jesus has done for us every day, to remember the terrible price he paid to give us life and to free us from sin. Thank you that he has offered us salvation as a free gift by his grace. Holy Spirit, we ask that you anoint these people, your people. Would you fall afresh on each one and give them encouragement and power from your Spirit? Give them boldness as you send them out to proclaim your good news to those around them by their words and also by their actions. May they be continually convinced of you and your goodness, that their trust would remain steadfastly in your name as they bring their worries and cares to you. And God, I ask that you guard their hearts and minds as you promised to in your word. Give them the ability and endurance to cling to their faith in Christ and to keep their consciences clear. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let us read together the words of formal response from the congregation as on the screen, as our response to Carrie's baptism. Let's read together. As we now receive you into the fellowship of the church, we make this covenant with you, to renew our own covenant with God, to bear each other's burdens, to assist in times of need, to share our gifts and possessions, to forgive as Christ has forgiven us, to support each other in joy and sorrow, and in all things to work for the common good, thus making known Christ's presence among us to the glory of God. As we unite with each other now, may we all be joined with Christ our Lord. To further commemorate this morning's service, we are invited to share in communion together the remembrance of Jesus our Lord, to remember his life, his death, his cross, his resurrection and ascension and promise to come again. We come in remembrance, seeking the renewal of the Spirit's work in us. We come in celebration of the fact that God loves us and calls us to this table to seek fellowship with him and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The invitation is given this morning by John Bell, who writes the following. He was always the guest in the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. But here at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. And those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who are hungry and thirsty for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus the Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. Come, you who are hungry, filled with wanting and waiting. Come, you who thirst for the peace of Christ. Come, not because you are worthy to sit at Christ's table, but because you are willing to serve at Christ's side. For the Lord our God has gathered us here, and Jesus the Christ is our host. Come, you who are blessed. Come, you who are broken. Come to this table of our Lord. As our response to this invitation and as our statement of faith, and because this is a joyous occasion, let us stand and sing number 586, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. If there's younger children who so choose, they are invited to go downstairs. Their childcare will be provided for them there. Let's stand and sing number 586. I know not why God's won. You may be seated. For those of you who are visitors here, we do have a tradition in this congregation that just prior to communion, we would kneel by our benches in time of silent prayer. Is there something you need to say to God? Do you need to spend time in silence and listen to God? Possibly a prayer of thanksgiving? Whatever it is, spend a little time in silence, in our knees before God as you are able. I will close. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us always when we pray. Amen. Donna Scales writes the following. It was 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. It was a holiday weekend, and the traffic was simply awful. Friday is my day to be the skills trainer for my son, Scott. He has Williams syndrome. Age 35, though, he's lived on his own for 15 years. We've already finished his cleaning, paid bills, written out his calendar, bought groceries. We're now heading back to his apartment. By this time of our day together, we're often drained of energy and usually quite grumpy. To divert my grumbling mind, I turn the car radio to my current audiobook. It's at an especially unpleasant part of the story and doesn't help our mood. Nor does the traffic jam we are stuck in. So I grab a Tennessee Ernie Ford CD, I switch discs, and I go straight to number 10. Scott, I explain, this is one of my favorite songs. It describes what it's going to be like when we walk into heaven. It soothes me to think about that when I'm tired. With only 2 short verses, the song is mostly Ford's deep, resonant, majestic voice singing Alleluia over and over. His voice begins softly and then seems to reach to the heavens with his praise. And even though the words are very repetitive, they never fail to move me. It's an old gospel song, and I don't expect Scott is going to particularly enjoy it. Much to my surprise, when the song finishes, Scott asks, Mom, will you play that one over? I'm happy to oblige. And the music begins again, and Scott reaches over and turns up the volume way up. I look around at the 2 lanes of traffic stalled on either side of us and decide the volume won't offend anyone since the windows are closed. But halfway through the song, Scott opens the window all the way down. And by that time, the joy-filled smile consumes my face and tears stream down my cheeks, and I just really can't tell Scott that he should turn it down. And the song finishes for the second time, and Scott proceeds to lean way out the window. He look up and he shouts, did you hear that, Jesus? My unabashed, open, and forthright son wanted Jesus to hear the Alleluias. And I'm sure other drivers heard them as well. Maybe they too are now smiling. Probably the most appropriate response would be for us to join the song, for Jesus to hear our Alleluias as well. Alleluia for a world that God was willing and continues to be willing to share with us. Alleluia for a God who came to share our world in solidarity with us. Alleluia for how shared joys are magnified, shared sorrows are mitigated or diminished. Shared fears are erased. Alleluia for the invitation to allow the Spirit of God to flow into our lives, to bring healing in its wake, to bring peace instead of confusion, hope instead of despair, faith instead of fear, and life instead of death. Just the chorus, we need to sing Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia,
Alleluia. 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 He's my Savior. 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 What we do here, we do in imitation of what Christ first did. To his followers in every age, Jesus gave an example and command, rooted in the experience he shared with his disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and as they were sitting around, he took this bread and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Isn't it instructive that there was another invitation to take and eat back in Genesis 3? I want you to eat this fruit. This is a different kind of eating. This is the eating with a whole different trajectory than what the story of Genesis 3 led. The story of redemption, renewal, and transformation in ways that only God can manufacture. After they had eaten, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Drink this, all of you, in remembrance." So following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this cup, the very ordinary things of this world, which Christ has made special and symbolic, and we use them in our remembrance. And for this bread which was broken, for this body that was torn upon the cross, Jesus offered a prayer of thanks before they ate. We will do likewise. Let's pray. And now, O Lord, lest we believe that our praise alone fulfills your purpose, we become silent and remember him who came, because words weren't enough. Setting our wisdom and our will and our words aside, emptying our hearts and bringing nothing in our hands, we do yearn for the healing, the holding, and the acceptance and the forgiveness which you alone can offer. So, merciful God, we would ask that you would send now in kindness your Holy Spirit within and among this group of believers. Let this Spirit rest on us, transforming us from the pattern of this passing world, until we conform to the image of him whose food we now share. Amen. We will distribute this bread, we will wait till everyone has received, and then we will eat it together. I would invite the servers to come, please.
Did we overlook anyone? Let us eat together this body of Christ. Let us feed on him in our hearts by faith. With thanksgiving, let us eat. Let us offer a prayer of thanks also for this cup. Let us pray. Lord, you deserve our gratitude of praise. With our hearts lifted high, our voices full and joyful. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. And when we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. You prepare this table, offering not just bread and a cup, but in remembrance your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. We give you our thanks for your continued sacrifice. Amen. Again, we will wait until everyone has received, and then we will drink the cup together. Again, did we overlook anyone? Let us drink this cup of blessing. Let us be thankful. It has been good to be here this morning. We have shared words and testimony of transfer, sung songs, and baptized, and received people into membership of Jesus the Christ. We've also shared communion together, and God has been here. God has given to us the opportunity and gift of this day. And with joyful hearts, we return our praise to God. Erica, would you lead us in a closing song?
And end with the song, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
After the closing prayer and benediction, I'm going to invite Janelle and Mark and Erica and Carrie. Would you come to the front here? And we'll just line up here and invite people to come. If you would like to give them a personal word of blessing and encouragement, just kind of line up around that side, and I think we'll come through this way, and that way it'll make room for everybody to be able to do that. Would you come and join us, and we'll move the communion table so there's room here for us to be able to do that. Let's bow to pray. Gracious God, you have been good to us this day. In the testimonies, in the singing, in the baptism and communion, you have been present. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on all those gathered in this place. Bind us to yourself, that we may be bound in faith to fellow brothers and sisters. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with all the redeemed we will feast with you in your kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, God of all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.